What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons back in action tonight. And then next week, it's at Cowboys for the final preseason game. That one's going to start a little bit later on, 8 o'clock. But we just got to get past one more week. And really, that's what this is about. Cut down day is the 27th. That'll be the following Wednesday. And then we'll know what this roster is. And then it's time. And then you're hoping you got the right guys to take you through a season that can get you there.
Did you just say it's time?
It's time! I mean, that's what we're looking at, right, man. I mean, honestly, Mike, I had a gentleman hit me up. He said, I've been listening to you and Mike for the last few weeks, you know, about camp specifically. And he was just having this conversation with me. And he said, Dukes, do you really think that we have the guys? He says, I look at these other rosters. And he was talking about, you know, Ravens or Philadelphia. And he was like, I look at these other rosters. And I said to him, I said, look, the example that I'm going to give you is the Denver Broncos. And the reason is because they were in salary cap hell. Okay. They cut a check to Russell Wilson for damn near $40 million and still went to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback and a variety of turnover. Now, we can say that, yes, Sean Payton is proven and a Super Bowl champion and all of that. But the point is, guys, nobody expected the Broncos to be as good as they were last year, but they drafted correctly and they came in, they coached their guys up. My point, why can't that be us? Why can't we be a playoff team in that similar situation? And I think when you look at our roster and their roster, that's what I would compare it to. I can't compare our roster to Philly, Mike, or the Ravens. That they're deeper. Right. It's just what the Bills. I get that. But I do think that this is a team that should be able to get there, and the Broncos are the team that I look at from last year.
Right. You could call it sort of a new version of that old famous Dolphins no-name defense. You know, I mean, I always harp on Nick Benito over Troy Anderson because it happened. But, you know, they've got some guys that really get after the passer from the linebacker position. They're down linemen. As we said, it's not like it's household names like, you know, what the Rams have always seemed to have from Aaron Donald to what they've got now with Jared Verse. But you're right. And then you throw in, you know, what this quarterback can do. And maybe had he gotten a chance to do it last year, he would have perhaps taken us to the playoffs. How Zach Robinson evolves as a play caller, because as you said, love him or hate him, Sean Payton, you know, he knows what he's doing. And remember, it wasn't a great start. The first couple of weeks were pretty ugly, you know, for Bo Nix, and he really cranked it up. An amazing rookie year.
Yeah. So, but with all of that said, the dramatic build up to where we're at and where this is going, let's hope we have the right guys, and let's hope that they've drafted correctly, and all of that is still to be determined, because all of this, man, once the season starts, it all changes. We think very highly of the things we've seen, and I got to tell you, the practices have been competitive, Mike. Would you agree the practices, not just against the Titans, I'm talking about just every day and what we've witnessed?
It's different when you've got depth. You know, I mean, it's funny because, you know, you and I, we looked at, you know, some of the Dean Pease defenses. We're like, man, we're just plugging in dudes, man. Like half the defense was practice squad guys and journeymen. You know, you're just trying to, you know, because that was the last year really of the cap hell for what it was worth. You know, like we had almost a year and a half of that, and then we came out the other side. And, you know, certainly you've got like Brandon Dorlus and, you know, and other guys that are battling, because now the second level of defensive line in the front seven, to me, is more impressive than that second level of the offensive line we talked about last hour. You know, that's why I hope Storm Norton gets together and somebody, you know, evolves and impresses the staff over the course of the next few weeks. Otherwise, you may have to go shopping, Carl, to beef up the O-line depth. But defense, we've got more depth than we've had in years. And I just think that's a matter of finally, number one, you got it right, but you also had a little bit of money to spend. Leonard Floyd, that was a huge acquisition.
404-726-0929. You guys can let us know what you think as we're talking football. Got a question for you as well when it comes to this. I guess this was a survey they did. Former NFL players now entering retirement age are talking about they're likely to live with more chronic pain and disability, but they wouldn't change anything. And it's like, whoa, if you knew what your life would be 30 years down the road. We'll get into that coming up. But right now, let's get to 4th and 1. So a slew of games Saturday, guys. Couple tonight, obviously our Falcons, as I mentioned, Seahawks, Chiefs. Tomorrow, if you're sitting around, and many of you will be, it's going to be hot. Lions, Dolphins, Colts, Packers, Vikings, Patriots, Eagles, Browns. And we know Shador's not playing, but maybe, Mike, we get a look at Dylan Gabriel. That's the word out of Cleveland. Texans, Panthers. And then you got some late afternoon games with the Raiders and 49ers. Cowboys play tomorrow night. I think it's 7 against the Cardinals. And then Sunday we get two games, Saints, Jags, and then the Bears and Bills. And a lot of these teams, by the way, have been practicing together. For example, the Bucks made the decision today. Todd Bowles said, I've seen enough of Baker Mayfield in these two practices with the Steelers. He's not playing. So that's kind of what a lot of these coaches are determining, whether or not their starters are going to play.
Yep. And again, there's no right or wrong answer. I just think it's situational. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers wants to play, but, you know, Tomlin will say, yeah, maybe that's not a good idea. You know, we talked about Mahomes, and certainly Joe Burrow is probably the most probably eyebrow raising of all the quarterbacks that started in a preseason game. But, you know, in our case, it doesn't matter. We can bellyache about it. The coach is going with a plan. He feels that what he saw in the 2 days of practice in Titans. And again, Carl, I don't know, because it's not a stat that would be shared, but it seems like I can say this compared to Dan Quinn or, you know, our time with Arthur Smith. Don't you feel we're doing more a true 11 on 11? Like we did that like real game simulation the other day at halftime. Can't remember seeing that with other coaches here with Atlanta.
Yeah, it was, as real as you could possibly get. Get off the field! Yeah, I'm with you, and I it's funny. Cause
I don't like it, but I mean, I do. I guess that would be the argument, you know, if you're raw.
Yeah, and I was going to say Brian Schottenheimer was talking about this with the Cowboys. They just broke camp in Oxnard, and he was saying, and I guess, Mike, maybe these coaching conventions, you know, when all these guys show up in the spring at the owners' meetings, they all talk. But he was like, I'm not of 7-on-7. It's not real football. And I was like, that sounds familiar. So Schottenheimer's right. Been saying, we, the Cowboys, want to do more of this as well, and that's what we try to do in camp. I do think, and again, you know, for high school, it's great. You get repetition and all of that stuff, and, you know, for quarterbacks, it's fun. But I do think having safeties on the field and manipulating people with coverages and that stuff, you can only do when you got full 11 on 11. And so that's what I right. think they're right on when you talk about this is how we should be practicing.
And a couple of guys asked this last week, so just, I mean, not that there's no bad questions or dumb questions. 7-on-7 is linebackers and defensive backs. So basically, you're getting a feel of how the tight end releases out, how the coverages work. Now, the Titans, you know, they're kind of forced to do that man-on-man stuff, and we saw that. But once we got on 11-on-11, they were in a zone that, let's be honest, Penix and Drake London just carved up, and Casey Washington and Ray McLeod. But, yeah, when you see that 7-on-7, it truly is basically, you know, it basically turns into a 1v1 wide receiver on corner, and in some cases safety on tight end.
Here's what's interesting, guys, and I said I think this is a developing story. The Matthew Stafford aggravated disc in his back. Okay, that's
the careful
official...
how you say that. Be careful how you say
me.
That.
Trust me. it's that's the official word as far as what's going on. We know he got an epidural a couple of weeks ago, but he's going to work out Saturday morning. And when asked about it, he said, hopefully my back responds a little bit better. And this was Sean McVay talking about Matthew Stafford. Mike, when you start saying hopefully, we wish, we think, those are indicators that we're not really sure where this is going to go.
No, there's an element of the unknown in the equation. I mean, I get it. You know, we talk about Coach Ra and how it's basically radio silence, or, you know, you just don't want to get the message out there about a real injury. But when you keep on pushing it back, you know, hopefully Saturday morning his back responds a little better. That's why, I mean, I know a lot of Falcon fans are ready to ship. I know I'm ready to ship Kirk Cousins off to L.A. You know, I don't really like him in the conference. You know, I imagine we see Kirk Cousins leading the Rams in a playoff game. Boy, would that be a storyline.
Yeah.
But if Matthew Stafford continues, and again, knowing because the numbers bear out, you could find a way to get Kirk Cousins, because no team is going to eat the lion's share. We're still going to have to eat, you know, the majority of that contract. But, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is only making $3 million. I don't think – I mean, we love Stetson Bennett, but they're not prepared to make him the man. So that's one that kind of stays and remains intriguing because of the vagueness of the situation.
Meanwhile, there is a video out of Bears president Kevin Warren. He used to run the Big Ten, by the way, before he took this job. Opening camp with a story about DJ Mustard. Mustard! For you Kendrick Lamar fans. And he talks to the Bears, and he's telling them the story about how Kendrick Lamar received over 450 beats from DJ Mustard about one song. That song ended up being Not Like Us, but ultimately he kept getting beats. It's like, that ain't it, that ain't it, that ain't it. And his moral was to the team, Mike, and I don't know how good the Bears are going to be. There are rumors about Caleb not getting all the things that Ben Johnson wants right now. We'll see. But Kevin Warren tells his story and talks about the Bears. They've got one. Like, he spoke about the Bears having something special and saying, you just don't know when that next song, that next beat may be the one that changes everything. And that was kind of his message to the Bears. It's kind of a cool thing because he tells his story and the guys are totally into it. But at the end of the day, Mike, what are the Bears going to be? Like, is there, who has more expectations than the Bears right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, specifically on the shoulders of Caleb Williams, you know, and again, it's not his fault that they had an offensive coordinator that was a nitwit. They should have just blown out that Eberflus guy and thrown the kitchen sink at Ben Johnson last year to get him to commit to, again, he was looking at a pretty good team that could have gone to the Super Bowl last year with Detroit. But yeah, Caleb Williams, pressure's on him. That offense has got to produce. They've added a lot of pieces on both sides. They've got talent, Carl. They got depth by any metric. But now it all comes down to how much is Caleb Williams going to handle it. So I'm with you there. And I thought that was kind of a cool message, which basically says, you know, especially today where guys quiet quit and people, you know, a guy works at a restaurant 1 week, you know, and he's waiting tables and he expects to be the maitre d'. That's a great message about perseverance.
Yeah, it is. Hey, man, thank you, Big O. We've got a lot more to talk about. A couple of position battles that are going on, and that's going to play out tonight. And we talked about the second team offensive line improving in the run game. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And if you knew what your life was going to look like 30 years from now, would you still do it? It's Dukes and Bell.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
More depressed, more anxious, and are far more likely to report having some type of a cognitive decline than the average American man. This is a new survey that came out. And here's the thing. We watch the game. We love the game. We watch our favorite players. We do not know what our favorite players go through after their careers are over. And I got to give a big shout out to Ovi Mahaley because I didn't do it the other day. We saw him up at camp and he was there. One of the great fullbacks in Falcon history, and he was up there just, you know, roaming around and checking things out and seeing what a lot of guys have come through. I mean, we've seen everybody, guys, former players. You know, we talked about Snoo being up there, and he's a part of the coaching staff and has been helping out, and then, you know, Roddy White. But, Mike, we don't know what these guys go through when their careers are over, and the findings are a result of a survey conducted by independent health policy research and polling and news organizations. And the bottom line is, if I told you you could do whatever you wanted, but in 30 years, here are the consequences, would you still do it? And the thing, Mike, is in this survey, majority of these guys who played say they would still play. Yeah. They still would do what they love to do.
Right. Now, we think of all the major sports, I would say the NFL and the NHL, these guys earn it because of the quality of life after they step away from the sport. And as you guys know, well documented with CTE and every, you know, every play is, you know, is like a car crash, especially for the guys in the interior line. But yet, you know, you still have a chance to, if not make, you know, nowadays, I mean, most people would say that's like winning the lottery. If you can bank anywhere, you know, it's all relative, right? Any more than 25 to 50 million or whatever your contract is, and more of that for the stars, generational wealth. So you take it and you just know you're not going to live as long as your neighbor. And I think most guys in our car listening right now would take that deal.
The survey, this is what's interesting. So the survey, they tried to contact all 1,500 players who played in an NFL game during the 1988 season. So all of those guys now with an average of like the age is around, you know, 62 or so, but when they were in the league, so they went back that far and said, can we contact anybody that may be alive and talk right to them? So it's about a third of the players in the league that year that responded to this 45 question survey. And I'm fascinated by it because again, you would think if I'm dealing with knee injuries, who were you talking about the other day? You were talking about the Bears quarterback, Jim McMahon, weren't you?
Right.
Weren't you talking about McMahon?
Yeah, Jim McMahon, he got dumped on his shoulder by a knucklehead on the Packers, but the concussions, the hits to his head, I mean, all the things, you know, I mean, half that Bears team has been dealing with a lot of stuff. Just lost Mongo. That was obviously to a terrible disease. But, yeah, you think about the wear and tear from that era. Guys played on – think about your old doormat in front of your house. throw that on a tiny piece of rubber over concrete, and that's what those guys played on for, you know, for their careers.
Yeah, it's so true. Would you? You guys can find us on social media.
I'd take that deal.
Would you do it?
I'd take that deal.
I have a hard time because I am a guy that looks at it and goes, man, I don't know if I want to do that. But here's the deal. That's me at my age now. If you told me this at 20, I'm all in. And that's where these guys were. 20, 21, 22. If you told this guy at 50, right, you're not going to live that long. You have a different perspective because it's about your kids and your grandkids and your legacy. Like it's different. At 20, you're like, yeah, I'm all in.
Nowadays, people are living longer. I mean, I think we're more proactive guys, you know, with our health. Nowadays, when you see somebody go before they hit 80, in some cases, you know, we hear about, you know, movie stars and athletes. Anybody in their early 60s is way too young. I mean, I know I had a sense of Carl Irish fatalism because my dad checked out at 51 and my grandfather at 63. So, you know, I'm at 56, so I feel like I'm on borrowed time as it is. Not to be silly, but I mean, I think like a lot of guys out there, yes, things change when you have a family, but I still think I know I'm providing for that family and getting them ahead of other, you know, kids out there having an advantage some don't have. And not to mention the glory of it and a chance to do some things that you dreamed about as a kid. I think a lot of guys would take that deal. I mean, what's the cutoff? You check out, you got a horrible quality of life and you're gone by 70, 65?
Earlier than that. Here's the deal. And I say gone. You can't, like if I told you...
Well, you can't walk. You can't do the things you want to do.
Correct. Physically, you're gone way before the age thing hits and you die. I just feel like if I told a guy right now, you live this, and this is, look at all this in a crystal ball, and he's like, I want all of that. And then I told them, but you're not going to be around for your kids. I'm telling you, it changes your mindset. Like, you're not going to be around to see your daughter get married. It changes your mindset. Like,
Earl
that's
Campbell,
the part.
Right. Remember Earl Campbell was in studio with us a couple of years ago. To this day, it's one of people always ask me, what's your favorite interview? Because, I don't know, just part of my childhood watching him just running over people. He is an absolute such a sweetheart of a man. He hit 70 this spring, and he's wheeled in a wheelchair because the knees are completely shot. You know, we've seen him at the Hall of Fame. We've seen him at Super Bowls. But, yeah, that's the great debate. But I think nowadays, and I do think more players today, after they get, if they're elite players and they get that second contract, what AJ Terrell just got, right?
They're out.
What Drake London is looking to get. I think nowadays the average age of the NFL player is going to come down, and I think most guys are going to check out. By the time they hit 30, 31, 32, if they get there, they're gone. There's no reason to push it because you can make the coin, and guys are more aware now of the CTE and everything you just talked about.
Yeah. No, I do agree with that. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. You can also find us on social media, as we said. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. And thank you guys for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Here's the deal. It changes as you age. And the 20-year-old you would be all in. I don't know if the 35-year-old or the 45-year-old you would be all in. And then again, Mike, if you've been broke all your life, and many of us have, money's the deciding factor. Screw
right.
It. I'm all in, and guess what? I'm going to pass away at 62, and it's okay because I'm tired of feeling this way. If you told me I could go back and do this, and I think that's part of this is like the money is so large where you go, how could you pass that up? But I also think, and this is just me, I mean, being pragmatic about it, you get older and you start to realize what matters. And ultimately, it ain't that. It's just not. Like the money's great, but I'm telling you, Earl's been that way, Mike, for 15 years.
Right.
He hasn't been able to get around like that. You know?
I mean, in the old days, it was race car driving. I mean, it was the most dangerous sport in the world. Formula One drivers, guys would die, you know, multiple drivers would die every year in the 70s, you know, and through the 80s. But, you know, it was the glory, the money, the prestige and all that. And guys, you know, they didn't think about it. They rolled the dice with it. Now the sport is safer. I mean, but the NFL, it's safer. But even with you see the guys wearing the padded helmets and the way that the helmet technology has evolved, you know, messing with your noggin, you know, and the idea of being like just a hot mess in your 60s, that's scary as hell. So that would be something which, again, maybe they were aware of it, but now everyone knows about CT. Everyone knows about that now. So I do think, yeah, you would, you take the bet, maybe you qualify it by saying, but I'm out by 30.
Yeah, I agree. All right. It's just interesting, guys. But they did that survey. And that the thing that they tried to do, it makes it even more fascinating to me, because it wasn't like they went back to 2000. They went back and we're going to try to contact every guy from 88, which was a different time. Like, you could be clobbered. They were hitting quarterbacks and driving them into the ground in 88.
Right.
So,
I mean, you watch that stuff. I mean, it's funny because we've talked about this before. If you go back, most of this stuff is on YouTube. I don't know if the NFL is trying to hide this stuff now, because unless you're watching more like on a slow, a fall or summer, not fall, but like spring or summer day, when NFL Network is running some of the great teams or great players from back in the day. I mean, this would be assault. Some of the hits that you'd see, clotheslines. I mean, people, I don't think younger people understand just how violent the game was. I mean, you talk to Archer, our good buddy Dave Archer. I mean, Richard Dent, the stuff Richard Dent did to Archer, that would be like I mean, they'd be charging him with manslaughter or attempted manslaughter.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a different era. The NFL marketed the sport. Carl and I always joke around, when you're a little kid, it was a big thing when you get your Sports Illustrated. And remember, Carl, you want the helmet phone, or you want your SI, or do you want to get the NFL's greatest hits of 1985?
Right,
which was that kind of stuff, which was glorified back then.
Well, and the crazy thing is, not only was it glorified by the league, but it trickled down from college to high school to every level. You had kids hitting other kids who were like 8 years old, like the NFL guys, because it was legal. And my point is, so those guys grow up and they get to the NFL, and you've had 15 years of that clobbering each other and head-to-head contact and no protection. And then you play in the NFL, and now you get this. So that's what I'm telling you is, it isn't just a few years. This is how the game was played. If you grew up that way, literally we were taught to put your helmet on another guy's head. That's how we were. And now it's like, oh, shoulder pads and elbow. And it's just completely different. So I'm with you, man. It's a crazy conversation, but we love the league, but it's like there are a lot of guys, and I'm not saying all of them. I mean, Tom Brady, hell, he played 20 years and walked away, and the dude's on TV, and he looks better than he does now than he did 20 years ago. But a lot of guys, especially in the trenches, struggle, and their everyday life is not what you think it is.
Hey, man, we were talking yesterday, one last NFL nugget, but we didn't have time to squeeze this into a 4th-and-1. We were talking yesterday about the former Texas receiver and Alabama receiver, Isaiah Bond. You know, he had a sexual assault case. No bill being in the grand jury, didn't have enough to move forward.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Where to play is play. Hey, man, it's a short version of Dukes and Bell today. As a Teddy KGB would say, Carl, just like a young man coming in for a quickie. We're in for 3 hours today. And then you got your Falcons pregame. I was just checking with the boys about Ronald Acuna's status, because my studio audience sometimes does prohibit me from accessing all my digital. The cat was sitting on my phone, and Day-Day sent the text earlier that the Braves today reinstating Ronald Acuna from the 10-day IL, and Sandy Leon is back to Gwinnett. So sounds like we're going to see Ronald Acuna, and I know you've got strong feelings about that.
Yeah, I am just... In this corner, I don't agree with playing him at all. It is August 15th.
Strips.
We have about 5 more weeks of the season, because we're not playing into October.
Right.
And so when you talk about what the meaning is to bring him back to just sell tickets, and I know Grant talked about the integrity of the game, and that's all nice.
You answer me.
That's all nice. But ultimately, Mike, I'm just totally against it. And God forbid, trust me, Acuna for life. Nothing happens between now and those 5 weeks. But as you said, manage it. You don't have to play him every day. If you're going to bring him back, let him pick and choose, or you pick and choose, snit, or double A, whoever the hell's managing this, manage it so that you feel like, okay, he's out there, but we're not pushing the issue, the envelope. And that's all I'm saying. If it was me, Mike, I wouldn't give a damn about what everybody else in MLB says. I would simply say, hey, he's not ready. Who's going to question it with the injury history? He's not ready. And then you get to a point in September where you go, he's not ready. And then everybody comes to their senses and goes, well, then why are you going to play him anyway with 2 weeks to play? Oh, look what happened. That's what I was hoping. But nevertheless, he's going to be back.
Right. And, you know, we went round and round on this with Grant the other day. And, like, I get it. And I tweeted this afternoon. We don't say X, but you can. But, you know, it's a bunch of professionals, and they got pride. And they want to try to, you know, like they want to get closer, you know, edge back to 500. So, you know, when you look back at this team now, again, do you remember what the 1979 Braves record was? No. But once the expectations change, and now you're expected to compete for a World Series like the Braves were this year. Remember, guys, all the experts, I mean, every baseball analyst, we were like right up there with the Dodgers, right? Yankees, Red Sox, or whoever you think is the elite team in the AL to be there. So I understand, but I mean, win 6 of your last 8. Things are cooking, but I would still – and there's a way. You brought this up the other day. You can slow roll Acuna. You can give him a day off. You can – you know, Sale can miss a start. Strider can miss
a
start. You know, there's a way to do it.
That's right. And that's all I'm saying. Look, I'm not telling you it's right because people will be sanctimonious, Mike, and be like, well, that's not the right thing to do. It's not about that. You're protecting your investments. Your biggest investments – have struggled for various reasons. And so unless you're trading all of these guys, and Mike and I are under the belief, and I think most Braves fans are now, that that's not going to happen. There will be a few changes, but we're not trading all of these guys away. So protect your investment, and the way that you go about that is exactly what you're talking about, and I can speak from experience. I know managers who've done this, who have said, hey, what's going on with such and such? He's not quite ready yet. And you go, well, I just saw him taking BP. He looked fine to me. No, we're not going to rush him back. Because nobody's going to question that within or outside of the organization when a guy has been ailing all season long.
Right. There's a way to massage it, for lack of a better word. Hey, one last Braves nugget. Hats off to a guy that, you know, he may have been streaky at times, but he's certainly turned things around this year. Maybe a little more home run power, but Matt Olson passes the Murph, Dale Murphy, for the team record, 741st consecutive game played last night up at Citi Field. Matt Olson can say that, you know, he's done something that only a couple other guys have done, you know. So I do respect a guy that, you know, finds a way to do it. Now, I can tell you, for my family, I remember when Cal Ripken, my dad passed, you know, way before Cal Ripken passed Lou Gehrig, but I remember one time, my dad and I talking about, somehow it came up in conversation, you know, my dad dragging from his Marlboro, what's the big whoop? He's doing his freaking job. He's a ball player. But anyway, it is unusual in this day and age to have your kind of mini Iron Man streak the way Matt Olson has done it.
Yeah, man, and you're right, Mike. I mean, look, there are a ton of guys that take pride, like most of us, I would hope, showing up for their job every day. But the grind of 162, go look at the numbers, guys. Go look at how many guys played 150, 152 games, 160 games this year. It's very few. And so the guys that take pride in showing up and wanting to play every single day, and you damn near have to like hold a knife to their throat to say you're not going in the lineup today, those guys are rare. So for Matt, it's great. He's not had an injury bug bite him. And he shows up, to your point, your pops, he's doing his job, but it's so hard in baseball because the season is such a grind, man. And I think it's a testament to guys that do that because so many guys are looking for outs now, especially with these contracts, Mike. You know, the money's guaranteed. They're going to get their money. It's hard to say, hey, man, I need you for 150 games this year. And a guy go, yeah, I'm totally in. It doesn't happen.
Hey, man, one last baseball nugget. Just, I found this story to be just so funny and so typical of New York media. Now the Mets are in free fall. And again, they had that 7-game losing streak. They snapped it. And then the Braves still win the series, take 2 out of 3. On our sister station, WFAN up in New York, Brandon Tierney questions Juan Soto's age. Quote, I think there's a good chance he's not 26.
That's great.
And so I go, wow, too much free time on his hands. Day-Day or Oren, who was the Little League player from the Bronx that turned out to have like a family of three and was driving a minivan.
Danny Almonte
was supposed to be 14 or 13 or whatever it was. He was 13 and a half. He's supposed to be 12. Either way, Carl, this is what they do in New York when the wheels come off. They're going to be stuck with this guy forever. I mean, the Bobby Bonilla buyout would be like $50 million a year forever, and they're actually questioning how old Juan Soto is in New York.
It's so funny because, you know, a lot of the Dominican players, right, are not right. or have not been the actual age. Octavio Dotel, rest in peace. He was another guy. Like, there were guys that came along, and you're like, how old is he? And then it came out he really wasn't that age. So now everybody always questioned the fact when you see a phenom or a guy like Soto come up, and you're like, huh, actually, how old is he? But it's funny because you're right. This is the distraction method, Mike. They right. have sucked over the last month and a half.
I just love the, you know, he's probably not even 26. Who cares? You know, it doesn't matter. And for those who don't understand, guys would come up in a franchise and either they would hit a ceiling and they would fudge the birth certificate. They'd get another, move to another part of the Dominican, get recruited by another baseball team and start again.
Yes.
And that's how it works. Hey, man, real quick, before I get to those stories I teased, I just saw this posted about a half hour ago from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Something new this year, Dirty Bird Wings. A house-made Dirty Bird dust, Carl, giving wings a fiery twist on the classic lemon pepper. I am intrigued.
Me too. You know what? Are they serving those in the preseason?
Yeah, because I don't. Is this something I can only get if I know somebody who's got a club level suite? I got to be in the AMG. I mean, where do I get this?
But anyway, I'm trying to tell you. They're
not telling me where I can get it, so anybody over there at MB Stadium might want to let me know. But it looks like in the picture it's served in a suite or perhaps, you know, at one of those high-end, whether it's the Delta or the AMG. Either way, house-made Dirty Bird dust. I did bring this up to Carl. We were talking about wing sauce. I threw this on some steaks the other day. You can get it online. You don't have to travel to Key West. And I don't make any money off this. I'm just telling you for our wing friends out there. I know there's some of you maniacs who got to have the ghost pepper and all that stuff. It's going to make your heart explode. But the hog's breath seasoning, you go to the Hog's Breath. That's one of the great bars in Key West. Everybody knows Sloppy Joe's, Hog's Breath, Irish Kevin's. But anyway, you can put it on chicken. Becky put it on some wings the other day. Unbelievable. So just something if you want to check out Hog's Breath. If you've never been down there, guys, you're familiar with the Keys. It's pretty good. I threw it on some steaks with some Montreal seasoning. It was really good. So just a little bit, but it's not like an intense heat. It's just a little bit of spice.
Yeah, when you find, and there are tons of them, but when you find the right seasoning, you don't ever want to go away from it. Like to your point now, you'll be like, if I don't have that seasoning, I'm not doing this steak. Like that's, everybody's got their thing as far as the seasoning is concerned. And, you know, I've talked about this when we were doing our tailgate at home. Creating your own seasoning is kind of cool, except for when you're paying for an expensive piece of meat. You don't want to ruin it. So go with what you know, man. That seasoning you're talking about, delicious.
It's good stuff. Hey, I will get to those stories, but real quick, it's Guy Talk. We're going to talk about what we're looking for tonight. We're seeing some of the backups going up against the Titans. That's coming up in just minutes. But first, our man, Oren, back at the ranch in Midtown, has found the audio of our sister station and Brandon Tierney. Take a listen.
You still have a youthful glow. Does he look 26?
Yeah, but he's been in baseball for like 7+ years.
I
got to give him a little bit more of a...
Well, so
remember when he came in, he looked a little bit more of a baby face. Now he's grown into his own.
Okay. I got it. I can't prove it. But listen, in my own mind, while I don't know for sure, I think that there's a good chance. I'm digging this hole deeper. I think that there's a chance, a good chance, he's not 26. I'll say it. Whatever.
I won't lie. I'm sure that there's plenty of baseball players that their ages are different.
Agreed. But we're talking about this one.
And height and weight as well.
Again, you know, I grew up in that city. I mean, my friends in high school always ask me, why don't you get a job at FAN? Because these idiots have a job there, Carl. Yeah. Spewing
you
this
still
nonsense.
Have a youthful glow.
This is the number one market in America, and that is the nonsense. You think we're full of crap? How is that guy syndicated? Are we? What the hell is going on here?
You still have a youthful glow.
Brandon, what are we counting gray hairs now on this guy's chin? What are we talking about? This is
unbelievable.
Oh, my
God.
That's funny, though. I mean, literally, it is funny that they're even going there, but it tells you that's how – they don't even want to talk about the Mets. Let's talk about a guy that has aged and has a few more wrinkles around his eyes.
You still have a youthful glow.
Yeah. And enjoy him. And, you know, maybe by the time his contract's over, we will have flying cars. Anyway, here's a story that made some news today. John Stockton does an interview – and was asked about today's NBA, and I got to agree. I think Carl may maybe feel the same way. Quote, it's softer. Guys can take 20 days off. Load management? Question mark. Imagine telling your dad I'm taking a few weeks off from work. Who's going to feed us then? These guys do it. John Stockton basically called him out, and I got to agree 100%. Now, Pop started this nonsense. I mean, I'm sorry, Carl. Yes, if you got a legitimate injury, if you got a tendonitis thing or whatever, but when you're going from four seasons to Ritz-Carlton every night, I don't want to hear about load management in the NBA. And hats off to John Stockton, Hall of Famer, for throwing it out there.
Yeah, look, and he was one tough SOB. First of all, he was barely 6'1". Number two, he would set a pick on a 6'11 dude and break him down. Stockton was a relentless dog, and I think, Mike, those kind of guys, they were just, we say it all the time, they were built different. Like, how in the hell does a 6-foot John Stockton survive in a day and age where you could throw elbows and hit a guy in the face? Like, seriously. Right. And he was one of the best players to ever do it. You had to have a certain kind of toughness, man. So I don't disagree with him. No, I totally agree with that. And you know, I know the guys today, everybody talks about it's different. There's more flow to the game. Whatever.
Flow?
Yes.
3-point shot, clang, run around, play no defense, clang, take 8 steps. Ah, mush. Hey, man, we talked about this in the tease. If you're traveling and, for instance, Delta, I think Delta's got a pretty good variety of in-flight entertainment if you don't have something on your phone or your iPad or whatever. So this became a thing. Big article in the Washington Post about this weekend, talking about, is it wrong for you to enjoy an R-rated movie which may have some nudity or violence if there's a young passenger sitting next to you on a flight? Reason it came up, a woman was confronted by a parent for, quote, raunchy R-rated movies on airplanes, and she says, quote, this is, her name is Holly Graham. She's based out of Tampa. She works as a booker for an entertainment company. Says, quote, I did not sign up to be a mid-flight babysitter. Goes, I'm not going to watch what I want to watch because somebody else is having a problem with it. I'm going to watch what I want. So is it out of line for someone, or do you move the child over to the window seat? What do you make of that?
I'm with her. I want to watch whatever I want to watch. If you don't want us to watch this type of material, okay, then it doesn't need to be accessible on the plane, which is ridiculous because they're going to allow this. Mike, as an adult, if I want to engage in an R-rated movie and it has some nudity in it, I should be able to do that in my seat. Get your stinking eyes off of my screen, okay? Right. You are all in my mix, and you're dipping into my business. I'm trying to watch this show over here, and now you're telling me it's inappropriate because your kids can see it. I'm sorry. Like, that, I think if you know you're going onto a plane, and this is why you get your kids and you put them in their own little world, and they have their own entertainment. But if you're looking at my stuff and you're going, oh, I can't believe you're doing that. I'm an adult. I can do whatever the hell I want to do.
Right. I told the story to you before. This is way back. It's so long ago, Carl. It was when you'd actually take the DVD player on the plane.
Okay.
So this is, what is this, 2020? So it's 19 years. Yeah. 19 years ago. I was flying to Budapest to go to the Formula One race, the Hungarian Grand Prix, and I had a couple of DVDs. So I had The Matrix, and I had Heat, Michael Mann, one of our favorite movies, you know, with Al Pacino and De Niro. And it's the great shootout scene when they run up on him when they're coming out of the bank. You know, that famous scene where they're having the shootout with the LAPD?
Yes.
And literally this woman is trying to cover her kid's eyes because I'm watching this. I'm on the window, and the kid, and eventually, you know, the mom, like, you know, as she dozed off, and the kids keep, he wanted to watch the movie, so I wasn't going to try. I'm enjoying the flick. To me, it's like, look, you know what? Then put a mask on your kid, because, you know, especially if the airline is going to offer that kind of entertainment, expect to see it.
When I think of woman's something comes out of me.
You got your head all the way up it.
Hey, there's your, she got out.
That's your guy. Real quick. Couple guys hitting us up on the text line because we are working from home. It's 5 o'clock, almost. Actually, it's 4 o'clock. Guys are asking, what is Carl and Mike sipping on?
Right now, I just got got an energy drink. I do not have anything, but it is coming. It is coming.
Well,
right?
If I'm honest, I've got a Basil Hayden with a slight splash of ginger beer.
Very nice. Basil Hayden's good stuff. It's good
and
stuff.
That's guy talk.
All right, man, coming up, we are going to talk more about our Falcons, but the Hawks schedule dropped last night. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, we're going to talk with Steve Coonan in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Tough go to start the season. 13 of their first 21 games on the road for our Atlanta Hawks. We'll get to Steve Coonan coming up at about 20 after the hour. But when we come back, what are we looking for tonight? That's next.
You still have a youthful glow. Does he look 26?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.